What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sports Stories with Bic here on Raw Football Talk. Thank you guys, as always, for your support on the multiple platforms, on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, and also on TikTok as well. We got a couple of Raw Football Talkers on TikTok, so that's what's up. And thank you for showing love to their merch page as well. Today, I have a special guest on the show. We have Mike Janella, who is the digital host for the New York Mets currently, and you probably seen him on your TV. If you're a housewife, you probably seen him host Jeopardy, maybe. But he's a TV host, producer, personality, and a media coach. And above all things, as it says in his bio, a decent guy. So Mike, how's it going, buddy?
Good, man. Good. I hope to be a decent guy. That's the number one thing. My parents, all my success, they always tell me, but are you treating people nice? Are you being, you know, the way we raised you? So I try my best, but thanks, Bic, man. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, we've been talking for a while now, and I'm glad to be able to come on your show.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate you. And for those that don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself, like your background and your upbringing.
Yeah, so you kind of covered a little bit of those bases. You know, I grew up in Central Jersey as a huge sports fan, but not a good sports player. I was short and I was slow and uncoordinated as a kid. So I learned fast. My dream of playing center field or playing point guard for the Mets or the Knicks wasn't going to happen. But then I decided, you know what? The next best thing, I can go to all these games for free if I work as a sports player. You know, commentator. I didn't know what it was going to be, a writer, a play-by-play person, an analyst, whatever. But that's what I decided really young. And I kind of set my life path in that direction. And since then, it's pretty much been everything that I've done. That's the reason I chose the college that I went to. It's the reason I chose the internships I did and the jobs that I did. And since then, I've developed into sort of a it's weird these days, right? Because you can't just say TV host anymore, because what's TV? As you're watching on your phone or you're watching on Facebook or you're listening to a podcast or whatever. But like you said, I think multimedia personality maybe or something like that kind of covers everything. And I cover sports of all kinds, entertainment and pop culture. Like you said, I popped on Jeopardy one time to present the late, great Alex Trebek with one of his Guinness World Records plaques, because I used to work for Guinness World Records. So random things along the way. But like you said, right now, I'm a host for the Mets, which means everything from in-game entertainment between innings to post-game shows on Twitter to interviewing players on YouTube outside of games to a bunch of other freelance gigs as well. But pretty much anything with a camera or a microphone, put me in front of it, and I love it. And now I'm here in New York City the last 10 years or so, just trying to take some bites out of that Big Apple.
That's a great analogy you did there. I know you mentioned your internships, your past stops, and I guess this is something that it's been a childhood dream of yours that you've been able to fulfill. And so if you could describe like a little bit of your journey, like what was it like for you?
It's been difficult, but also easy in a lot of ways. I know that's a very kind of cop-out answer, but easy in that I knew what I've wanted to do career-wise since I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people that don't figure it out that early, maybe they don't get started on a track that early to get to what they eventually want to do. I know I had some friends of mine that, for example, you know, he was a medieval European history major in college because he had no idea what he wanted to do career-wise, but he really was fascinated by that topic. So he's like, let me just do my major in this while I figure it out. He ended up working in HR, making a career out of that. They don't teach you that when you're learning about, like, you know, Constantine or whatever. So, you know, for me, it was easy in that I knew what I wanted to do, and that made my life kind of the journey I wanted to take a lot simpler to figure out. But, you know, working in sports, especially sports media, it's anything but easy. I've had to deal with having to move all over the place. I've lived in 7 different states, a couple different countries, all finding jobs, like going for work. I've had stretches where I've been unemployed for 6 months, 9 months, 8 months. I think I've had 3 stretches like that of that amount of time. And you're trying to chase a dream. And sometimes the dream doesn't keep the lights on. So you gotta make some concessions and some sacrifices and hope that you're not wasting your time. And thankfully now I've been doing this for 15 years, basically professionally. And there have been some really rough times and taking jobs that maybe I didn't love or covering stuff I wasn't a huge fan of, but whatever it was to get me back onto that track that I wanted to be on since I was a little kid. And now it's paying off pretty well, I think.
That's awesome. I think one of the things that people don't see. Like we see the Stephen A. Smith, we see the big names in terms of sports or even media personalities. And it's a career that is very fulfilling, that is very glamorous, but you don't see the ins and outs. You don't see the day-to-day grind, the behind the scenes sort of thing. And I commend you for even mentioning even the rough times, because I myself have actually experienced unemployment, and trust me, it's not fun. And it kind of makes you go from your plan A to plan B and just kind of figure things out. But at the end of the day, like you said, when you're chasing a dream, when you're willing to put in long hours and sacrifice, once that fulfills, it makes that much rewarding. So thank you for sharing. And kind of segueing to your media career, I know you've mentioned the good and the bad, but if you could talk about your two favorite sports experiences now, one that an experience that you had the privilege to cover and one that you witnessed as a fan, what would those two be?
I've been lucky to have a lot of these. In terms of working, it's hard to pick just one, but I don't know. Let me guess. I'm just going to go with this most. Actually, no. Can I answer two? Is that a cop-out? Can I go with two?
You're
going to let it happen? All right, cool. So the first one that comes to mind, just because it's most recent, just happened this past weekend from the time that we're taping this. So I work for the Mets. It was a Subway Series, Mets-Yankees. And it was a Sunday night baseball game. It started at 8:10, which is an hour later than normal. The game took over 4 hours. I think it was 4 hours and 6 minutes. It's a Sunday night. It was back and forth. Mets were down. They went ahead, down again, went ahead. Francisco Lindor hit 3 homers. They were benches cleared. They were trash talking with the Yankees. Energy was high. Crowd was pumped. And then at the end, the Mets with Lindor with the home run in the 8th inning ends up, you know, Hollywood script, winning that game for the Mets. And for a lot of people, it's like, man, well, a Sunday night, you know, we didn't get out of that stadium until I didn't leave there till 1 a.m. and still traffic getting out of there. And I didn't get home until 1:30, didn't get to sleep until 2. I've been there since, you know, 4 or 5 p.m. putting in these 10-hour days, but it's so worth it, right? Like you put in all that, but then as soon as that home run happens and you're there with that energy and that crowd, 40,000 people going bananas. And those are the moments as a sports fan or a sports journalist or whatever it is you want to call it. That's what you live for, right? Because you're putting in those long hours and you go to those games that are 10-run blowouts, or it's a 5-0 clean sheet and it's the middle of August and the weather's terrible and you're there at 9 a.m. and you're like, why am I doing this? It's for moments like that. So that's the most recent one that I think of. But my personal favorite one, it's weird because I wasn't really working in sports media at the time. I was with Guinness World Records, and with them, I was a host for their digital properties, but also an adjudicator. So I would go judge World Records, and I got to go to the 2012 NBA All-Star game, and they judged a bunch of records there that the actual All-Stars were trying in their practice session. So I got to meet LeBron and Durant and like anybody you could name, Carmelo, Paul Pierce just got inducted to the Hall of Fame, like all these guys. And they're listening to me explain, you know, this is how you got to follow these rules for this Guinness World Records attempt. And no, you can't do that, LeBron. And no, KD, I'm not allowing that, like whatever. So these guys are the most famous athletes in the whole world, the best at what they do, the best to ever do it, are like listening to me, who's like a foot shorter than these guys, literally in some cases. And it was just really cool to be able to, you know, talk to these guys and see that competitiveness and get that real up close and personal. Like Steve Nash was a really cool guy. Kobe was there, the late great Kobe. He didn't do any of the attempts, but just seeing him sitting there watching everyone else, he was kind of like the godfather of All-Star Weekend. And everybody was like trying to impress him, trying to get these world records. So even that, just like great memories now that even though it's been almost 10 years, getting to work that was incredible. And as a fan, I know you're a big soccer guy. Me too, at least in terms of the national game. So I've been able to go to 2 World Cups and 2 Euros now to follow my beloved Portugal. You know, my family's all Portuguese. We've been following soccer before it was cool, before FIFA was here on U.S. shores and everybody was playing. And just being able to see some of those games, some of those matches in person. I was there for Ronaldo's hat trick against Spain. I was there when it was a winner go home against the Dutch back in 2012. This most recent time now, that game we had against France, the 2-2 draw in Budapest. So just some of those are the first ones that come to mind. But yeah, I could talk for an hour about the great sports events I've been blessed to go to. It's been a cool ride.
I think people notice, one of my friends was telling me, when you say you're a business owner and you have a product to sell, one thing that people really latch onto is the passion you have for it. And so if you're not passionate about it, then people are not going to buy that product. And it's essentially, it's the same thing with your sports experiences. Like you just mentioned, like you can sit down and talk for hours and hours on end because you've been blessed to experience all these sort of things. So honestly, when I asked you that question, I was expecting maybe like a World Cup event or Euros, and you dived into that. I guess the one that you really loved was the one with Kobe and, you know, being able to work with them. And like you said, hey, this is someone that's like a foot shorter, but you're, you know, just like up close and personal. So
I was just going to say it's different too, because, you know, the experience as a fan and the experience as a worker is always different. And for me, I try and still keep that joy of sport when I'm covering it. I think a lot of people get out of this business really fast because they get burned out and they think, oh, working in sports is fun or it's easy. But if you don't have that passion for it, then you become just kind of this robot and you learn to hate it. So I always try and keep that. And so it's cool when you're working, you get that access. You can dap up LeBron. You can be next to Kobe and actually talk to these guys. But as a fan, you can also like have that unbridled, you know, fandom that you're not allowed to really have when you're covering it all the time. So it's two different kinds of experiences, but I mean, both awesome in their own ways.
Now, this part of the show is where things get a little exciting because you get two options and you got to pick
one. Been exciting. It's been exciting so far. It's going to get even more exciting. I can't wait.
There we go. Love the energy. All right. So you got to pick one: Daryl Strawberry or Mr. Sue Cristiano Ronaldo.
I missed the first part of it there. I'm going to blame my Wi-Fi. So I had a choice to make and I heard Ronaldo at the end. So whatever the first choice is going to be tough. But what's my first option again?
Daryl Strawberry.
Oh, I gotta go with my guy Ronaldo. Straw, it's partly an age thing. You know, his best years, his biggest years, I either wasn't alive yet or I was very, very young. By the time I knew, Daryl, or knew about him, he was like his last couple of years with the Mets. And I've gotten to meet Daryl. He's a great guy. Like, what a talent. One of the all-time great skill sets in baseball history. But with Ronaldo, that's my countryman. You know, we come from the same place. We speak the same language. I've gotten to see him in his prime, throughout his prime. We're kind of the same age. I think he's like 1 year older than me. So I just relate to him a little bit better. So I gotta go with CR7.
Okay. Owl's Dulce or Frank's All Beef Hot Dog, preferably from Grace Papaya, which is near Broadway.
I'll go with that one. I've had that one. You can't go wrong with an all beef, especially from Grace Papaya, you know, best in the business. So now you got me hungry, but that's a good one.
I heard Sweet Rice. I hope I'm saying it right. It's Owl's Dulce. That's how you say it in Portuguese.
Arroz Dos. Yeah.
There we go. Okay. All right. Totally butchered it. But I heard that's like the staple in terms of Portuguese, like cuisine and dishes, correct?
It is. But, you know, I when it comes to desserts and sweets, I tend to go more like chocolate, and the arroz dos is more, I mean, it's like rice, right? It's like a sweet rice and very milky. It's great. Don't get me wrong, especially like when my grandma makes it, she's got the home recipe, but it's not really my favorite of the desserts. But like a hot dog, I don't care what culture you're from or what's the occasion. I could slam like four or five at any point, especially if they're coming from New York City. I know it's the best of the best.
Awesome. And now this one, it's tricky because if I said Portugal winning the World Cup, I'm pretty sure you'd go with them. So I switched it a little bit. I tweaked it. Mets winning the World Series or the U.S. men's national team winning the World Cup in home soil in 2026?
That is a good one. And to be honest, if you had left it with Portugal, that would have been a tough one for me too. I'm not sure I would have been able to answer that because I mean, it's two teams, the Mets and the Portuguese national team from the men's side that I've been a fan of my whole life pretty much. So that one would have been tough. This is easier for me. I picked the Mets in the World Series just because, you know, the U.S. men's national team, I love jumping on the bandwagon whenever they're playing. But I didn't really get into the U.S. side of things until probably like after they knocked out Portugal, to be honest, in the 2004 World Cup. Was it 2004? No, I got that backwards. 2006. Yeah. That was the one. No, before that, 2002 is when they knocked us out. Two, yeah, two, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember because I was in high school. Yeah. It seems like we draw them every other World Cup, the two teams together. So 2002, when I kind of got, you know, aware of them, and 06 or and then 2010 when like the Landon Donovan goal and all that stuff. So I get into it, but I was a Portuguese soccer fan before a USMNT soccer fan. I was a Mets fan before all of that. So Mets World Series would be my answer. Ideally, with me still working for the team and being there for the game clincher in the World Series, but we'll cross our fingers.
Perfect, perfect. And okay, so you said that was easier. Now, if you had to choose either Portugal winning the World Cup or Mets winning World Series in an ideal environment.
Yeah, I knew you would, you would follow up with me on that one. Oh, man, it's so tough. If Portugal hadn't have won the Euro in 2016, I might have gone with them. But I'm going to go with the Mets just because, you know, we won that big trophy already for Portugal. And I feel like that kind of scratched my itch a little bit, even though it's not the same as a World Cup. But it's kind of in that universe for me. And with the Mets, like I said, I've been a fan of them longer than I have the Portuguese soccer team, because I got more into the soccer a little bit older, like late childhood. The Mets, some of my earliest memories are wearing Mets gear, watching Mets games. And I have so many more friends that I've shared that bond with. My dad since day one as well, like all my family too. So I think I would still go with the Mets if I had to. Also, because, you know, again, it's been something that's been so many years since 86, since they've won a World Series, whereas Portugal just got that Euro Cup a little while ago. So yeah, I'll go with the Mets in the World Series there, but it's not an easy choice.
Perfect. And the last one, meeting Cristiano Ronaldo in person, either that or giving up that opportunity you recently had with meeting Bob Costas. So in order to meet Cristiano Ronaldo, you would have never, ever in your life would have met Bob Costas.
Guys, meet Bob Costas. Oh man, yeah, that is a tricky one.
Give it up for CR7.
This one's a little trickier because I technically did meet Ronaldo once. We didn't speak, but I was actually judging a Guinness World Records attempt before they went to South Africa in 2010 for that World Cup. And the team was there. It was part of like a big send-off for them. And he was in line to get on the bus to go. And I got within like 5 feet of him. We made eye contact and did like a little one of those head nods. And then he just like dipped into the bus. So I'm going to count that I've met him too. But no, to have like an actual conversation with him and sit down with him. Yeah, I'd probably pick that. I mean, I love Bob Costas. And I got to recently meet him, like you said. And we chatted for a few minutes. He's literally the reason I got into sportscasting. He was the guy that I saw on TV as a kid that got me on my way. But there's a lot of other good sportscasters that inspired me that, you know, even went to Syracuse, and that's kind of the reason that I went there too. And then Bob got me going, but maybe I meet Mike Tirico or Marv Albert or, you know, Joe Buck or somebody else, but there's only one Ronaldo. There's only ever been one Ronaldo. There's only ever going to be one Ronaldo. So I think Sophie's choice here, but I got to go again with my guy, Chris. Sorry, Bob.
So it's fair to say that CR7 is the GOAT in soccer in terms of all time.
I mean, personal preference, but I'm going to take arguments for Messi. I can't deny that either. Like, you can go either one. I think it'll be interesting over the next, you know, 4 to 5 years if one of their forms falls off a lot faster than the other. But, you know, I obviously I'm biased. I have a preference. Cristiano is always going to be my guy, but I will take arguments for Messi. I think they've both passed, you know, Pele, Maradona. You think about what those guys were compared to their time, certainly. But I think if you put them on the pitch in their peak at the same time with Messi or Ronaldo today, the two guys modern will run them out of the building. But I think that's the case with any sport when you go more than like 30 years of a gap in between. But I'll entertain Messi, but Ronaldo does have a soft spot in my heart.
I respect that. And last two things before I let you go, Mike, what advice do you have for someone who is chasing their dreams in the sportscasting world?
My first advice is a shameless plug. Hire me as a coach to help you out, because I've been down this road. And if you want to go down that road, whoever you are, I'm happy to show you the ways that you should avoid and the things that you should do. But in general, what I tell everybody is, it's kind of multiple things, right? Number one, make sure it is your passion and it is what you want to do. And you're going to have a lot of times when you're trying to follow down a sportscasting or any entertainment, any hosting field, whether you're covering the movies or music or whatever, like, it's going to be not fun sometimes. And you're going to wonder, man, is me covering the Grammys going to make me not want to like watch the Grammys? Am I going to hate music because it's going to be not fun? Am I going to stop loving watching TV because I have to look at it through an analytical lens? Am I going to not be as big of a sports fan because I have to think about the stats or the stuff that happens off the field that's not positive, or the team starts losing and I got to watch every single game? So really know that whatever it is you want to do is the thing you really want to do. And you're going to have a lot of moments that are going to test that faith, but you got to just keep looking in the mirror and decide if that's what you really want. And then the other thing is just creating your own content. Like, I'm really proud of you that you're getting this show going and you've done such a great job with it. Because a lot of times people are not going to hire you or want to look at your stuff or give you the opportunity to do stuff. And you got to take matters into your own hands. When I was coming up, you know, YouTube didn't exist. Podcasts didn't exist. Social media besides Facebook didn't exist. There was no place for you to make content unless somebody was paying you for it or you were interning for them. Now, like, everyone's got a 4K camera in their pocket. Everyone's got a studio quality microphone. You and I are talking into them right now that you can get for like $50 on Amazon. Like, it's so easy to make your own content and push that out to people that maybe will hire you or will want to see your experience on your own and see something they like and say, hey, come do that for us. Or you shoot off on your own. You become so like great at what you do that you can become a YouTuber or a Twitch streamer or a TikTok star or a podcast icon, whatever. Like, you can cut out that middleman, which is the great thing about the technology we have these days. So love what you do. And when you can't do it for somebody else, like, do it yourself until you can get to that place that you want to be. And there are tons of other small tips I can, you know, share as well. But then we're going to get into a TED talk here. So you wanted the big pieces of advice. Those are my two.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mike. And last thing, if you could describe your journey in one word, what would it be?
Fun. It's been great. Despite everything, it's been a blast. And the good memories far outweigh the bad ones. And I've gotten to where I am now because of everything. So no regrets. It's been a blast.
Perfect. Well, you said fun. This has been a fun experience. Thank you so much for hopping on the pod. And I do remember, last thing, I do remember when we first connected at the conference back in January that George Washington was hosting. I had a U.S. men's national team jersey from 2002, and that kind of brought back bad memories because, you know, we talked about earlier how the U.S. men's national team beat Portugal. So I remember.
I know. And that was the World Cup in Japan and South Korea. So I was waking up at 4 or 5 a.m. to watch those games, and they did not end the way that I wanted. So it was double hurt. I still remember it to this day.
It's kind of like the Olympics for this past summer, like Tokyo, like waking up at 5, 6 in the morning, catching all the great events. So, but this has definitely been fun. Thank you so much. Like you said, how can people keep up with your work?
I'm at Mike Janella. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Those are my two big ones. I don't do the young people social media just because I don't have the time. They're great. They're just not for me. So at Mike Janella on Twitter or Instagram. And then, like I said, my coaching site, MikeJanellaMedia.com. I blog there with tips every week about succeeding in the business. And I have tons of stuff there for your, you know, young aspiring hosts if they want to get into it. But Twitter and the gram, follow me there.
Will do. Well, thank you so much once again, Mike, for hopping on Sports Stories here on Raw Football Talk. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Make sure you keep up with us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the social media. Thanks again, Mike. And next time, I promise you, my pronunciation of sweet rice will be much better.
It was a great try, man. I really respect it.
Sounds great. Thanks, buddy. Talk soon.
Later.
One, two, three, stretch your out at me.